I realized that, perfection wasn't required. If I'm going to become more, I would need to take imperfect action and move. Develop a mindfulness practice. Find time with yourself to just become aware of what you're seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, touching. Have a physical routine. One of the biggest challenges I see with a lot of the leaders who I coach is that they're not taken care of. Fundamentally, when they start taking care of their self, when they develop their ability to communicate, when they, they're able to generate more energy, they're able to, quiet their overthinking mind, that's when they become more resourceful. That's when they become more influential.
That's cool. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Self Seed Podcast. This is Emmanuel from the Self Seed Podcast. And today we are going to listen, or we're going to interact on episode 17, season 3, episode 17. And today we have Dino with us here, and he is going to share a lot. And maybe he's going to, well, if you're far away, then I guess I am your representative in listening and learning. So I hope you can join me and we all get to learn and get to experience the world of Dino.
Blessed.
Welcome, man. Welcome to the podcast.
Blessed, blessed. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here already.
Thank you for accepting to be on the podcast, because it's really an honor to have you. Yeah.
Blessed.
Yeah. One quick question. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah. You're on point. Most people would say Diano. But you got it.
All right. That's nice. So if you're new to the Self Seed Podcast, remember that the Self Seed Podcast is your friend in personal development, and the podcast is available on your favorite listening platform. Anywhere where you get your podcast from, well, you can listen to the Self Seed Podcast. And if you are looking to know more about the Self Seed Podcast, just head on to www.selfseed.transistor.fm and let's get to it. Today, we are going to see the secrets of high performance. High performance. Why did I even choose to say the secrets of high performance? Well, because you are, I have followed along for some time, and you are doing a great job. That's number one. But I named this podcast stealing from your work. High performance coach, and I think you're also a business development coach, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I thought, why not just call the podcast the name? Give Dino the crown at all.
Blessed.
So yeah, that's why I called it the secrets of high performance. So I would just like to welcome you to the podcast. Welcome, and you can introduce yourself, anything that you know is essential to start with before I throw in any question there.
Yeah, the self-introduction, that has always been something, a challenge for me, because I feel like I'm consistently evolving.
Right.
I think the person who I was last year is dead, and the person who I am now is becoming more alive.
Yeah.
But as you said, my name is Dino Delplesh. I'm a high-performance coach. Right. And right now I'm focusing on helping leaders, cultivate bulletproof confidence and double their productivity.
Right.
So that way they can live a life, of that they deserve, and be a model of excellence for the next generation of leaders coming up.
That's really good.
So I think that's who I am right now.
I like the way you say the way you titled the aspect that you're dealing with right now, creating high bulletproof confidence. I got it right?
Yes, sir.
That's so nice. I mean, transformation. It's coming in different ways, and you're making sure that the leaders of tomorrow are well equipped for tomorrow.
Yes,
because we need high confidence. Yeah, and I think to start with, you have moved. Maybe your transition. You have a long CV with you. Carrying a long CV with you. You are a public speaker. You are an entrepreneur. You are a high performance coach, and now you're creating bulletproof bulletproof leaders. Bulletproof confidence for leaders. So maybe I'm interested to know your Dino's journey, to know your journey. Maybe how did it start? How until now where you are?
How far back do you want me to go? You want me to go from all the way back?
I usually say I have all the time in the world, but yeah, it's your take.
Okay.
You're the guest, well, so it's your zone today.
What I'll say, I feel like I've been a leader for most of my life. Yeah,
all
if
right.
I go back to when I was a kid.
Correct.
Yeah, I was always that kid, even when I was in the Pampas, like leading all the other kids, like, what are we going to do? How we are going to get these mangoes? Like always figuring out how to get what we want.
Right.
However, I think my journey originally started, you know, when I was 16. Yeah, I had this group of friends and we were like brothers. They were 9 brothers and I have 3 brothers, but my younger brother and I hung out a lot. Mm. And I remember this one day. And I was there on a stone, and as I gazed out to the sea, and I saw my friends under the mango trees, they were playing, they were having a really good time.
Right.
And I felt helpless in that moment, because it dawned on me that, imagine the next couple of years, some of these guys, they're going to be thrown out of school.
Right.
They may be involved in gangs. And if they're lucky, they would avoid, you know, getting shot or being in jail.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do, because I know that it doesn't matter what I say, they're not going to really heed. And it's as if this inner voice came to me that says that, Dino, you got to become somebody who they listen to. You got to become more. You got to be somebody of influence.
Right.
Yeah. And at that point, I realized that, okay, if I'm going to become this person, I would have to leave and learn how do I become more?
Mm.
And I think that's where my journey began, because I was always a good student academically.
Mm.
And I always know that I needed to leave. Yeah, even though I had a good job, I needed to leave. I need to figure out this stuff. I need to become this person.
Right.
I think that's where my journey started. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to come here to China.
Right.
It wasn't my initial choice. However, when I thought about China, I was like, why not? Yeah, I came and, you know, a lot of people was wondering why China, but I just needed to leave the island because I knew there was something more outside for me. And when I came to China, I think that this experience changed, you know, who I am. It destroyed a lot of my limited beliefs of what was possible to me. First, starting with learning the language of Mandarin. When I came here, I thought it was impossible to learn Chinese.
Mm.
And because I was so afraid of failing,
right,
I make sure I learned the language.
Right.
Yeah, that was how crazy it was. And I've always been that person who, you know, would make the people around me, you know, feel good, make the people around me believe in themselves.
Right.
And I can remember there was this one night, I'm on the 7th floor of my school dormitory balcony.
Hmm.
And there was this one word going through my head. Jump, Dino. Jump. Just get it over with. You know, that's the only way you can end the pain. Now, that was the first time I had a thought of killing myself. And the reason why this story is so important, because I was always that kid who helps everybody.
Correct.
But I was going through my dark moment and most of my friends didn't know. But at that point, I realized that this thought didn't make sense. Yeah. But at that point, I was in a bad place financially.
Right.
My relationship at the time was going to the dogs.
Mm.
And most days I feel like I was just going through the motions. Yeah, my only form of exercise was walking to the 7th floor.
Hmm.
Yeah, one day I was scrolling through YouTube and I came across a speaker by the name of Jim Rohn.
Yeah.
And his messages has forever changed my life. You know, it was as if he was speaking directly to me. Like every word was for me. And he said, for things to get better for you, you need to get better.
Hmm.
And that one hit me hard because I realized that was true.
Right.
Everything I was experiencing had nothing to do with, you know, my circumstance. It had nothing to do with, you know, me being from where I'm from. It has everything to do with, you know, me, my performance. I needed to become better. I didn't know what to do, so I continued listening. I continued being a good student.
Mm.
And then he said this. He said, learn to work harder on yourself than you do on your business or your job. Ooh, that one hit me right here in my heart. Yeah, man, I've always been a good student, bro.
Yeah,
I've been the guy going to good grades. Yeah, girls, you know, going out, that wasn't my thing.
Yeah,
but then that message hit me because, you know, I realized that, okay, if I'm the biggest bottleneck to everything I'm creating, so I need to become more. I need to become more confident. I need to be more influential. I need to be strong within myself. And I didn't know exactly where to start. I thought I needed to find some mentor or go to America. And then he said this. He said, don't let your learning lead to knowledge. let your learning lead to action. That's when I got the message. I realized that, you know, perfection wasn't required. If I'm going to become more, I would need to take imperfect action and move. And that night, I made one commitment to myself.
Right.
Yeah, that was every morning, 5 a.m., I'm going to get up and move. Yeah, I start getting up, running to the playing field. And I was a martial artist since I was 12, and I haven't been practicing. So I figured, let me get back into the fundamentals, push-ups, pull-ups. And I think that started changing my body. I start reading more. I start listening to a lot of tapes.
Right.
And during that time, a lot of my friends were on vacation as well. So semester passed. And I remember this one day, one of my friends said when he came back, and he was from Tanzania, big up to Philip. We call him Mr. Red. He's from Zanzibar.
Yeah.
He said, Dino, you're different. Yeah, the things you talk about, you know, and there's something different about you.
Right.
And that's when I realized that everything that I was doing when it comes to reading these books, you know, taking care of my body, it works. And I think that's where my journey started. Yeah. I created communities, and I got so in love with this personal development movement. I wanted to know how to turn it into a business.
Yeah.
So after I finished my bachelor's degree, I got the opportunity to do a master's in entrepreneurship.
Correct.
Yeah, and from there, that's propelled everything to what I'm doing now, from working with my own coaches, now starting my own coaching business. And it's been crazy, man. It's been super crazy, because a lot of things that I'm doing now, 3 years ago, I didn't believe it was possible. Yeah, I was just a good student, you know, put my head down and be disciplined and do the work. And as I take action and do the work, you know, the fruits start to bear. So I think that's my story in the most concise form. Yeah, I can deliver it right now.
I mean, it's a powerful story, and that's why I think I love doing the podcast, because when I hear different people's stories, it's so great. I mean, people go through a lot, and people overcome a lot to become who they are, to reach where they are, and I think that's very powerful. I mean, your story is. I can resonate with it's powerful.
That's it.
It's powerful, and I like the part where you said when the guy said you need to learn how to become more in yourself before you look into your work, into your business, and so on.
You're becoming
great. I mean, and the learning transform it into action, not just knowledge, not just
I love that.
I love that, because the process of learning is continuous. It doesn't end. And what matters is, what differentiates us, I guess, is the actions that we take after attaining the knowledge inside our
heads. Definitely. Man, we are living in a information age. We're not short of information.
Right.
There's a book somewhere that has already solved the problem that you're having now. It's a matter of us reading that book and taking action on the learnings that's being delivered. And I think, you know, that has been my competitive advantage. I learn fast, and I do things quickly without thinking, oh, what if I fail, what if that. So I think that's the habit that we need to develop in this era. The information is there, we just need to take action on it.
That's true. I resonate with that, because absolutely, I think that's what I try mostly to do every time, every now and then, you know, because learning has no end, as I think I already said. And I'm not so sure if everything that I know is enough. It's never enough. So it's like every
the
day
more,
like
the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
That's true. And one thing I noted throughout your journey was you learned how to master yourself for you to be able to become the leader that you are, right? The leader that you are today. And since that age 16, when you were looking at your friends and you were thinking, I should become something more. This is not, yes, I have this born with me, but I'm not doing it perfect enough, right? And it comes back to when you're on that day on the balcony where he's telling you jump, you know? And there you go back reflecting and thinking, what can I do with my life? How can I fix myself? What can I... Yeah. Is it that the circumstances are going to limit me or whatsoever? And you came out to... you became a master of yourself. And I like that aspect. And
I won't say that I became a master of myself. I say I'll... I, I, I'm still in the process of mastery, self-mastery.
Correct.
Yeah, I think I was telling this to my girlfriend today. I realized that part of me died. Yeah, I killed a part of myself that wasn't serving my mission. Yeah, and a new part of me was born again. Yeah, that was the part of me who wanted to survive. Like, there's this saying, I can't remember who said it, is that a hero and a villain, they both have the same backstory.
Correct.
The difference between a hero and a villain is that the meaning that a villain attached to his backstory is that, you know, life is cruel and, yeah, you know, this is how life is, and he want to make it miserable for everybody else.
Whereas the hero
experience something bad and he don't want anybody else to go through that story.
So,
you know, one of the reasons why I tend to want to share my stories a lot, because a lot of people who have the same color skin like me, they're going through these same struggles, but they won't share it openly.
Shade out, yeah.
And worst case scenario is that they listen to the voice and then they take their own life, yeah, compared to hearing the voice, become aware the voice. The voice is not you, it's just a thought.
Yeah.
And then realize, okay, this is just a trigger telling me, you know, you gotta wake up, you gotta pull your shit together. Yeah, so I won't say I've mastered myself, but I'm continuously on that journey. And I think that's what makes life so enjoyable. Yeah, because I don't know who I'm gonna be tomorrow. Who I'm gonna be in the next 6 months. Correct. Yeah, the process of self-mastery is one of continuous growth, as we say in the beginning, in my opinion.
That's very good, the way you just clarified it. And I think you're on that journey, and I'm grabbing some things from how you explain as to be the tools for you to prosper in that journey of mastering yourself. And maybe the listener didn't grab the same tools as I did, but maybe you can share with us the tips and tricks that you're trying to always, you know, down the journey of mastering yourself to become the leader that you want, the leader that you aspire. What are the tips and tricks? Because
tips and tricks it's interesting. Tips and tricks. I'll say that there's a saying that says common sense ain't so common anymore. Yeah, and it's funny that we call them tips and tricks.
Right.
Yeah, recently I'm reading this book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. It's a brilliant book, but I don't enjoy reading it, if I'm gonna be honest. But it's a brilliant book, and I would encourage anybody to read it. And he said something interesting. He said that we have always been taught that our brain is designed to think, yeah, and the purpose of the brain is not to think. Yeah, thinking is actually the enemy, because what usually happens is that when we think, we believe because we think we are. Yeah, believe we are our thoughts.
Correct.
And when we practice, say, mindfulness, and it doesn't have to be meditating on a rock like a monk, but just being present and aware of what you're doing,
right,
what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're seeing, what you're smelling, what you're touching. Yeah, and those are the fundamental, those are common sense. Yeah, those are the things that we need to master. And in my line of work, we in neurolinguistic programming, we call that sensory acuity. Yeah, meaning when I touch this bottle, most people would feel smooth, but depends on the level of your sensory acuity. Somebody else can feel even the texture of the paint. Yeah, because their sense of awareness is so heightened. So I think the tips and tricks come down to the fundamental of how sharp your senses are. Yeah, your sense of smell, your sense of sight, your sense of hearing. And it comes by practicing mindfulness. Yeah, sitting with yourself quiet and just becoming aware of these things. Becoming aware of your thoughts. What are you saying to yourself over and over? Because somebody who have very vile, ugly thoughts would think, oh, this is how I am. This is what my parents have always been saying. And they would be in that pattern of endless, you know, self-sabotage. And when we talk about cultivating bulletproof confidence, it always starts with, one, the internal dialogue. Yeah. What are the stories you have been telling yourself since you were a kid that you have accepted as your truth?
Correct.
Yeah. And then the next thing is about your physiology, feeling. I know you go to the gym as well.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of, you know, taking care of my body physically.
Right.
Yeah. Your state, being able to work your body in a way where your body feel Yeah, energetic. Feel engaged, feel strong.
Yeah.
And the next thing is your behaviors. Yeah, what are the strategies that you apply throughout the day?
Right.
How you relate to people, how you talk to people, how you talk about yourself as well. So I think fundamentally, the tricks is one, develop a mindfulness practice.
Mindfulness, yeah.
Find time with yourself to just become aware of what you're seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, touching. Have a physical routine. It doesn't have to be going to the gym. It could be running. It could be yoga. It could be Pilates, whatever. It could be cricket. It could be tennis, sports, swimming. Yeah. Right. And the next thing, pay attention to who you're being in the environments that you're in, how you're relating to your partner fundamentally.
Right.
So I think those are the fundamental tricks. And because they're boring, people don't really, think they're looking for something new all the time.
I think people sometimes meet difficulties in practicing mindfulness, like paying attention to your thoughts, paying attention to what you're feeling, what you're doing. We are one of my friends likes to say, especially when we were going to class, when we are listening and he sits and looks at every person, people. They listen for like 5 minutes and then they go back to playing with their phones, in class and stuff. And he was like, our generation, is so distracted. Like, we cannot focus for, let's say, the 100 minutes that are set aside for you to listen to a presentation, to listen to a speech being delivered. But we tend to get distracted. And the problem is we tend to get distracted and fall 100% out of the zone, The distraction takes us 100%, but I mean, with mindfulness, this constant reflection and stuff, I think you bring yourself back to the moment every now and then when you're wandering off, come back, And that's I think that's the coolest trick
someone can use
to master themselves. Go on.
And it's a practice. I love the fact that you said wandering off, come back, wandering off, come back. The wandering off that's the requirement for practicing mindfulness.
Yeah.
If there's no wandering off, there's nothing to practice, right? It's like it's to grab yourself and coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that people need to experience at first, because even me myself, the only reason why I started meditating is because I was a big fan of Tim Ferriss and I consume a lot of his content and he talk about it. So every time they share something, I'll try it. So I started, doing 10 minutes. And at first in my head, I'm like, what is it? Like, this is stupid, I'm not getting anything. It's not like doing push-ups and you feel pumped. However, the moment I realized the benefit of mindfulness was after doing it for some time, I was challenged with hosting an event and that was one of the first big events I'm hosting. And I kid you not, Iman, I was scared. I was so scared. I wish it could have got canceled. I wish it could have rained. The night before the event, I wanted God to come and just take me. that's how scared I was, because I was afraid of failing. I was afraid of messing up.
Yeah.
So the event began and I have all my guys on the field and, I told everybody what they're gonna do. Like, I planned everything perfectly.
Perfectly.
When the people who came to take part in the event came and they start doing, everything start to go wrong. Everything start falling apart. I'm like, what the hell? I thought I would have panicked, but I didn't. In that moment, I felt a sense of peace. And it was the same sense of peace I felt when I meditated. And then I know exactly what I needed to do. And I did
That's
it.
Cool. That's
I needed to be a servant in that moment. And then that's when I realized the power of mindfulness.
Yeah.
I practice mindfulness in private. So when I'm out at war, I know what it feels like to be at peace with myself.
To be at peace, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the secret right there, man.
That's good. That's cool. That's cool. You know, it's like sometimes when you pray, it's the same. It so happens that then it's like your brain just goes out and then you have to force yourself, grab yourself, bring yourself back, concentrate. That's cool. That's cool. But then I'm trying to rethink. Remember the when you did the TED Talk with AEBS, I think,
yeah,
in Shanghai. you talked about perfectionism, you know, and you talked about embracing imperfection, not trying to run away from the mindset of wanting to be perfect before you do anything else. Before you start any journey, you always want to be perfect, but rather, you know, with all your imperfections, you can just go about the life, right? And I'm trying to correlate it with your journey and our daily lives, right? We say mindfulness, is a good practice for mastering oneself, ready for the leadership. But we tend to, you know, overthink things. I can also put it like that. We overthink situations. We overthink scenarios. And before I start something, I need, you know, to for it to be perfect, for it to be 100% perfect. But and this I correlated with, especially when I was about to start YouTubing before. I never thought, I was like, YouTube is not this, putting myself online is not my thing at all, you know. It's not it's not my thing. But my friends were like, you know, you need to try at least, and then, you know, experiment and see after 3 months if you're still not ready, then it's cool. You put it down and, you know, you go on with your life, with your secret or private life. And I'm seeing that in many aspects, people maybe want to start fitness, right? Let's talk about in the aspect of fitness. But it's like people aspire a certain perfection, you know, before even starting the journey. Oh, I don't have, let's say, I don't have shoes. Oh, I don't have gym clothes. Oh, I don't have a trainer. Oh, I mean, reasons are, there could be billions of reasons before someone starts something. Yes. But your journey has been, you know, a lesson to the people who follow you, and you have embraced always imperfection, knowing that the next step is not guaranteed, but you still take it anyway. So how can we, like, can you share with someone who is still on that aspect, how can they overcome, you know, the sense of perfectionism?
That's a good question. I think the first thing that we need to realize is that perfectionism doesn't exist. It's a myth. If you actually look at the word perfectionism, ism, it means it's something that is in continuous, it's moving. And to add ism to anything means that it's always ongoing. So that's the first thing that we need to realize. There must be some level of feedback. And one of the reasons why people maybe label themselves as perfectionists is because of the fear of failure. They're afraid of failing, and they're afraid of being judged by others. And the truth is, failure is not a person, it's an event. And you need to step back and detach yourself from the idea of failure and look at, what is the failure in the event so that you can continuously improve. And I said in the beginning, I'm reading Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and one of the insight I got recently is that our brain is not designed for thinking. That's where we start self-sabotaging. When you start thinking about this, thinking about that, you're using your brain how it's not supposed to be used, and that's what self-sabotaging, that's where the anxiety come from. You create a story about a future that doesn't exist, that haven't happened, but the thing is, this is what you're doing. You're literally manifesting the worst possible scenario into reality. When you start thinking like that. So what's important is realize, okay, if I'm thinking like that, okay, that's my perception. What's another perspective I can take on this? How can I look at this thing that I want to do differently? Let me think about fitness. So let me see. I want to draw the example real close to myself. When it comes to fitness, I don't love to run. I don't love to run at all. And I'll do my best to do exercise that is not running or swimming. However, my partner loves to swim. And she loves to run as well. And one thing that I realized, this is an opportunity for me to develop a stronger connection, with my partner. So it's no longer about my how I feel about running, but it's more about me cultivating a relationship. Another thing is, when it comes to me and say martial arts, no one loves to exhaust themselves. But there's a good feeling when you know how to fight at my age at that time. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood that is a bit more aggressive. Me knowing how to fight, that give me straight rep, So I'm focused more on the outcome than the pain of the process. And I think for anybody who is, you know, struggling with making that decision now, you want to get excited about the outcome. Yeah, you want to get excited about, okay, if I do this hard thing now, what is the return on investment for me? After going through that process. And I think most athletes tend to use that as fuel, where they know this hard patch that I'm going through, on the other side there's gonna be something sweet. So you gotta focus on that. You gotta focus on that thing that you want, not on the things that you don't want. Your brain is not designed to think. And if you do use it to think, use it to think about things that would be within your best interest. Use it to think about the things that would light you up with joy. Use it to think about the things that would make you feel empowered and more resourceful.
I remember that from the book by Darius Fox, How to Overcome, your inner battles, overcoming your inner battles. And one of the things he was talking about, fear, it's like he correlated it with meditation. He said meditation is us seeking to see the positive side of, you know, life and all that. You always constantly meditate so as to go to the positive side. And fear is just your brain still focusing on the negative side. So meditation tells you focus on the right. Brain tells you fear tells you focus on the left. And he was like, if you have the power to, let's say, meditate, forcing your being, your inner being, to look at the positive aspects of life, it means you have the power to reverse engineer the brain from thinking about, you know, the negatives. And put all your efforts into the positives. And I like the way you said our brains are not made to think. And when you think, you ought to think of the things that will eventually bring you, you know, joy. I mean, why would you think of yourself in a darker place instead of thinking of yourself in a lighter place?
Well, to be honest, it's not most of our fault. As a coach, I've learned that we all have our own stories. A lot of our thinking has been nurtured by our environment. Today we'll call them trauma. Maybe someone have had a past traumatic experience as a kid, and that story has been perpetually repeated in their head.
Repeating itself.
And they haven't really break out of that trauma. So sometimes I don't even like to look at the world as negative and positive, because I always believe that our unconscious, our mind, has the best interest for us. I was always fascinated by science and the body. I understand that the body would even cause you to faint just to protect you. So all of these negative thinking is just a protective mechanism. It's trying to protect you from something. The problem is that now that the threat no longer exists, it's still trying to protect you when you don't need that protection. And that's where the mindfulness becomes important, where you need to now become aware that it's just your perception. You got to realize that right now you're safe. Where you are doesn't have that threat when you were a kid. There's nobody, no dog trying to bite you, no boogeyman in the closet trying to run you down. So and the crazy thing with trauma is it's trapped in the body. So unless that trauma is released, sometimes we still have these same patterns. We still think that, you know, the guy is trying to scam us, when, you know, maybe the guy is actually trying to help you. So so I understand where that could come from. So that's why we gotta take control of our mind and our body.
The way you just said it, you reminded me, one of the book I read was saying that, you know, fear was instilled in us. It's like inside us, as you said, a protective mechanism, because in ancient times we had to use fear to, you know, escape or fight danger, you know, for survival. Become now a thing that is overtaking our daily life. Like we have fear over everything and anxiety, which is not right. before it was just a protective mechanism. And I like the way you just stated that. And now that the trouble is gone, your body still wants to protect you.
Yeah, trouble. Yeah.
So that's very good. That's very nice. And moving on to the next point where you're an expert, right? You do this high leadership trainings, trying to create, implant a new a seed of you know, the leaders of the next generation, the leaders of tomorrow, the leaders, a person helping people become at least leaders of their own lives, right? Take control of their lives. And what maybe are the secrets to high performance leadership? What do you think are the secrets to high performance leadership? I mean, because this is just one of your cores, if not one of your, you know, your module. Maybe you can share with us the light on that side of high performance leadership.
Well, these secrets aren't what I think. Yeah, these are based on modeling, you know, some of the world's highest performers. And these were actually from the High Performance Coaching Institute. Yeah, that Brendan Burchard is, you know, the founder of. And based on their research, they have found that there are six fundamental habits that guarantees you to succeed consistently over the long term. And the first one is, and we have been talking a lot about this, is first master your mind. Really, you know, mastering how you think. And the second one is, you know, mastering your body. And when we say mastering your body, it's not just about exercising, but physiologically mastering your state, emotional vibrancy that you bring into your body. The next one is mastering your focus. And that's when we talk about being productive, literally get things done, your habits and your routine. The next is mastering your presence. Sometimes we hear about executive presence, and you know, we hear about charisma and confidence. Then the next is to master your influence. How do you relate to the people within your environment, whether they're your family, you know, whether they're your team and those that you love to serve. And finally is master your purpose. Like, what is your mission today? What is your bigger mission? And these are fundamentally, you know, the meta habits of some of the world's highest performer. Whether they're athlete, whether they're CEO. These are the habits that has been coined, you know, to date of today. And if you, we believe as high performance coaching, we believe that if you develop self-mastery in these key areas, you feel more purposeful and fulfilled in life. Because mind and body alone, I think that's enough. And the great thing about each of these is that once you develop self-mastery in any one area, self-mastery in all areas goes up. Because we know, if we look at it on a real human level, if you're physically attractive and you can control your mind, influence becomes easy. You know how to, you have higher emotional intelligence, you know how to interact with people, you know how to get them moving in the direction that you want them to. If you, your mind and body, you feel good, being productive becomes super easy as well. So each habit, you know, correlates with each other.
That's very nice the way you put, the way you just called everything, it's all matches to our inner being, like
it's all
on us. It doesn't really have an external factor. It doesn't depend on external factors.
And these are habits that anybody can practice learn. It's not computer science that you gotta learn a key skills, because these are the fundamental foundation. When you do adapt these habits, you're able to get stuff done. You're able to feel empowered enough to you know, share that with others. You be more productive. You tend to be more meaningful. You become more connection loving. You get excited about challenges. You don't get shy away when there's a challenge. You tend to be more action oriented. More future oriented as
more
well.
More future oriented
instead of be trapped about the past and, you know, what has been done in the past. So I personally, these habits relate to me because I see them as making you bulletproof. Like I'll say if you think it's about the goal, then you've missed the point. It's really about who you are becoming.
The process.
yes yes
the process to whom you're becoming. That's very good. That's very good. And I think these all things, they all lead to, you know, I was about to ask the next question. I was about to ask about, you know, building confidence, but unshakable confidence. And that's what you're currently doing, you know, creating bulletproof confidence. And the first thing that I just noted is that all these key secrets of high performance leadership, they all contribute to confidence.
Yes. And the thing is, confidence is the result. Yeah, it's the result. It's the outcome of you practicing these habits.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to develop confidence, it's important that, you know, you need to take action. You need to take courageous action.
Correct.
Yeah, because if you already had that confidence, then, you know, there won't be anything for you to do. So you need to first be clear about who you are, how you relate to others, and, you know, what are your success markers in life. You also need to, you know, practice the habits that actually feeds your body physiologically, so you can feel confident, because confidence is a state. Yeah, it's a feeling. And as we said, fear has its need, right? If you don't feel fear, then, man, you would have a lot of troubles in your life. Yeah. But it's one thing to feel that fear and still do what you need to get done. And that's where confidence comes from. And that's why courage becomes important. You feel the fear, do it anyway. Yeah.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Thank you. I'm learning a lot. And listeners, if you're watching this, I hope you're grabbing some 2, if not 3, if not 4, maybe 5, 6 tips, on how to become a better version of yourself. And the good thing about Dino is he just doesn't cover your physical well-being or mental. He also, if you're seeking to grow in every aspect of your life, I think his tips are so useful because they correlate with different situations or scenarios of our lives. And it's pretty important that we use them. If you're still listening to this, remember to subscribe, to leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Or if you have a question, you ask, because I will still deliver the question. And the guests, usually I tell them they will have to pardon me by answering the questions. And yeah, we are still on it. We are still on the secrets of high performance leadership. We're with Dino today. And so far, I'm enjoying the conversation. And I hope you are also enjoying on that end. So I think this is almost the last thought I have for today. I wanted to know, it's not the last, I'm just lying. But some leadership practices and tools, you know, because I think and I believe that you are a great leader, and you're even building more leaders, helping other people become, you know, the better version of themselves. And maybe if you have some, you know, practices and leadership and tools for someone who aspires or wants to make a change in their life, make a change in their community, and so on, you know, because I usually don't want to talk when guests are talking. I allow the guests to, you know, share with us the golden tips and tools and practices. Yeah. Do you have any? Because I'm noting that you wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Well, it depends on the season. It depends. When it's summer, it's easier. When it's winter, it's harder.
I was about to ask you, in winter, do you wake up with coats and stuff?
Well, to answer that question, it reminds me of something Mother Teresa said. She said, if everybody cleans their own doorstep, then we'll have a much cleaner world. Mm. Yeah, I remember there's this story about this pastor who wanted to change the world. So he, you know, he went out to the world to preach, and he started to preach to everybody, and he realized that he wasn't making any impact. And, you know, in his spirit, it told him that, you know, before you try and change the world, I think you need to go and change your community. So he listened, and he went back to his community, and he did the same thing. He's preaching to the community, you know, try to, you know, make that impact, trying to influence them in the community. He realized he wasn't getting anywhere. And his spirit told him that, you know, before you change a community, I think you need to start with your family. So he listened, being an obedient shepherd. He went and he started, you know, communicating and trying to inspire and influence his family.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, the same thing happened. He realized he wasn't getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And the spirit told him that, you know, before you try and change and influence your family, I think you need to focus on changing and inspiring yourself.
Yourself.
So the message here is that if you want to become a better leader and make that impact, like I said in the beginning, you got to learn to work harder on yourself than you do on, you know, your community, than you do on your family, than you do on the country and the world.
Right.
Because if everybody clean their own doorstep, then we'll have a much cleaner world. And I'm not saying this to say that you're just gonna be selfish.
Mm.
Yeah, but you gotta remember that first, it starts with you. You gotta fill your cup, fill right. your well, so that you can take that energy and vibration out to meet others.
Mm.
You know, one of the biggest challenge I see with a lot of the leaders who I coach is that they're not taken care of. Yeah, and fundamentally, when they start taking care of their self, when they develop their ability to communicate, when they, you know, they're able to generate more energy, they're able to, you know, quiet their overthinking mind, that's when they become more resourceful. That's when they become more influential.
That's cool.
Yeah, so fundamentally, you have everything that you need to succeed and be an influential leader.
Mm.
You just got to get quiet and listen. Yeah, you just got to do the work. Yeah, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Yeah, ask for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Yeah, right. It's a sign that you are humble enough to allow someone to pour into you. Yeah, and, you know, it's easy to say sometimes ask for help, and it's not everybody can help you.
Right.
So it's important to identify, you know, those within your circle who can help you. And you can start from your family, yeah, your friends. Yeah, there can be a teacher. I could just be somebody who doesn't even know you, but you know them, and you can literally just reach out.
Mm.
Yeah, and you'll be surprised, you know, there are always people who is open to help you. Yeah. There's always somebody who's open to help you.
Yeah, that's nice. You just reminded us of, you know, starting the transformation from, you know, inside before you go out to clean another person's room. It's the same as that part in Proverbs where they say, you know, Matthew, I think, they're saying, how can you see a speck in someone else's eye while see the thing in your eye?
So you have
to start cleaning your own house before you can transform anybody else, before you can lead someone. I think it also resonates with that part where before you become a leader, you have to be a follower. Right.
You gotta learn how to follow.
you have to learn how to follow. That's cool. I'm enjoying this so much. And this is a tip. It's just an additional thing that I wanted to inquire about you. Let's say on the six secrets, you know, for high performance, because that's the easiest part I can use to. I feel like when I'm trying to rethink of the books that I've ever read, I'm trying to see that there are some books that fit in some category, in some, yeah. And I know you are a book reader just like me, and maybe more than me. So I was thinking, do you think you have maybe some recommendations for places like, you know, for the mind? Like, let's say maybe for the mind, we have things like Emotional Intelligence, the book by I forgot the name of the guy, but yeah, which I have it, and many more. You know, the more you try to build yourself, it's not about it's not the influence, how to win and influence people, right? We have, like, for the body, we have let's say maybe even YouTube videos. We have you need to start getting fit and so on, you know. There is actually for the body, we have books like, you know, Strength Matters and so on and so on. For the purpose, I read a book called Purpose Living, Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. So do you have your recommendation? Because these are mentioning my thoughts there. Do you have maybe your recommendation that, I think for number one, you guys are listening and you're thinking, how should I start before you... Because I'm pretty sure that at a point here, I'm going to allow you and I'm going to let you tell the people how they can connect with you. Because reading, let's say, a book is just one thing. But as you said, not being not being having the fear to reach out to someone else because they can pour something into you. So along the line of the books, also, you know, add up that they can contact you as a coach.
I love that you said that. You know, there's a lot of books and information out there. We're living in the information age, so we're not short of the knowledge. What we're lacking is action. So if, for example, you want to start working on yourself, I think there's different layers to this. The highest layer is working one-on-one with a coach or mentor.
With a coach,
that's the highest. The next level is joining a community.
Correct.
Surround yourself with a community of people who, you know, you aspire to be more like. There's Toastmasters.
Like them,
there's different organizations like the Rotary Club. Whatever kind of community around you. Then the next level is courses. Literally, you know, buying the course of, you know, somebody who you aspire to be more like. And the reason why I say buying, because when you buy it, there's a different level of commitment than when consume it for free.
That one.
My coach would always say that people who pays attention. And you want to be the kind of person who pay attention. Then the next level is, you know, videos, free content on YouTube. Then the next level below that is, you know, you can read a book or you can listen to a podcast. I'm not a big reader per se. I'm a big listener. So I listen to most of my books and I'm really big on listening to podcasts. If I can read, I'll read a few. One book that changed my life, to be honest, was How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's the Andrew Carnegie. There's also The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. That book shift my thinking. There's Think and Grow Rich, which is another popular one. And I thought I had it here. But the Brendan Burchard, The 6 Habits of the World's Highest Performing Leaders. That is like a go-to book for me because, you know, I'm into performance. I'm into efficiency.
You're a coach,
And in terms of spirituality, I think The Power of Now is a good one. And bruh, aside from all those books, the Bible, any holy book, everything is inside of those books.
It's inside the wise.
The challenge with the Bible is sometimes a lot of people have their own attachment and sometimes it's hard to decipher. But I think if you read the Bible or read the Quran or whatever religious book that you have, there's something there for you. It's a matter of you actually putting it into practice.
There's greater wisdom waiting for you, I like when you said your favorite book and you say the How to Win and Influence People. And I remember the Bible is like, I grew up with the Bible, but the first book that I decided, you know, I think it attracted me by reading it. And that's I started all this journey and stuff was Mindwise. I think it was Mindwise by Eric Epley. I remember when I read that book, I was like, I need to read more and more and more. You know, when you're a good student, when you read book, you read articles, but there's that one book you meet and you're like, I need to read this, I need to shift to this genre and start reading books in this line. I like the way you recommend it, but I love mostly the flow that you just shared. Like we have the coaching 101 out there. You have community, the people, because iron sharpens iron. So the people you surround yourself with will impact how you will be tomorrow and the courses. And then we came to free content on YouTube, the YouTube University. We like to say YouTube University. And we have books, and where we have nowadays books and eBooks, we have audio books. And we can consume all of this content and, you know, seek to grow.
Yeah, bro. Mm. Like, I'll say listening to a podcast of people who's doing amazing things is literally like you're there in the room with them. Shadowing them. That's priceless, bro. that's priceless.
That's nice. That's nice. Actually, nowadays, I'm listening to Trevor Noah, What Now, the podcast. And it's just, you know, you feel like you're among them and you're just resonating with their stories on. And those are just few of the things that I think we can use to grow ourselves. And this brings me to a very good point where I would like to thank you once again for accepting to be on the podcast. Thank you for sharing such awesome insights. But the most important part is Thank you for humbly letting us understand how your world revolves, sharing with us your story. And the most, the most interesting part is this moment where I welcome you to share how people can reach out to you, how people can support, how people can be part of your work, you know, become, maybe they want to start their transformation journey and they want to, you know, to reach out to you because they, your story resonated with them. So I feel like this is the moment where you can share and tell us how to connect with you, how to read more of your works, how to, you know, and so on. I mean, this is the, I like to say it's your zone. Just feel free.
Well, first, I must say thank you. Thank you, Manyman, for creating such a wonderful platform. And if you're listening to me and you love to get connected, right now I'm spending most of my time on LinkedIn and WeChat. So if you're outside of China, you can hit me up on LinkedIn at Dino Delplesh, D-E-A-N-O and D-E-L-P-L-E-A-S-H. Yeah, that's on LinkedIn. And you can hit me up on WeChat as well. And my WeChat ID is the same as my LinkedIn account. Also, if you want to check out some of my work, you can go to levelupquest.podia.com. Yeah, you can get a lot of content there from me. However, recently I've been doing a lot of writing, so you can really resonate with where my mind is on LinkedIn. And yeah, if you're connected with me on WeChat personally. And yeah, that's how we can vibe.
That's cool. Thank you. LinkedIn, Dino Delplesh, and www.levelupquest.podia.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And WeChat is the same, Dino Delplesh. Guys, yes, thank you. Yes. You heard. If you want to reach out and if you want to become a high-performing coach, yeah, this is the guy to go to. This guy.
Well, not I don't train you to become a coach. However, if you want to become the leader you've always aspired to, you know, and really adapt these fundamental high performance habits, you know, into your life as a leader, yeah, that's something I can definitely help you with.
Guys, he's not lying. That's what he does. Transformation his motto. Impacting lives, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for being part of the podcast today. Thank you for sharing awesome insight. And thank you for this is my hope that maybe in the future we can get more times to, you know, share and exchange and maybe also again invite you to the podcast. Yeah.
Blessed.
Yeah. If you're still listening to the Self-Seed podcast, this is Emmanuel from the Self-Seed podcast. And today we were conversing on season 3, episode 17, The Secrets of High Performance, and we were with Dino Delplesh, and he has shared a lot, and he has made our brains open up, and we now understand, I guess, the journey into becoming the leaders that we aspire to become, right? So let's get into work, because learning should not be equal only to knowledge, but rather it should be equal to action. So until next time, take care and remember that the Self-Seed podcast is available on all major platforms, or you can just go to www.selfseed.transistor.fm or just type on Google Self-Seed podcast and boom, there you have it. Until next time, take care.